like the official start of Youth Week. There's all young people in here. Amen. Amen. You older people, that's all right. You can say amen. You're under 111, so you know, I heard that's good. Amen. Hello. Is it blue? Is it live or is it memory? Amen. Well, take your Bible and go to Numbers chapter 7. I'm going to kind of be preaching to the young people. But again, don't take any offense. We're all young. Amen. We're all the Lord's kids in different stages, right? You young people, I hope you realize the opportunity you have. Amen. Growing up in this church, most of you, your parents didn't grow up in church, right? And it's a different game. I'm noticing something in the generation of young people that are my kids' age. They're dropping the ball. Grew up in good churches, good sound preaching, good homes, but they're dropping the ball. They're choosing other things, just like the Jews did in the message this morning. They're choosing other methods. I'm not saying that, you know, there's only one way, the old way. There were some things that needed to change in some churches. But the problem was when they changed them too far over. And they went off with modern ways that don't work. Now, there's only one way to do the work of God, young people. And that's God's way.
Yes, sir.
Okay? You do it in a way that pleases Him. And when God's happy, God will bless His people. God will do the work. And honestly, without Him, you can do how much? Nothing. So, why try? Why try to do something when you're going to beat your head against a wall, you're going to wear yourself out, and you're not going to accomplish anything for the glory of God? I'd rather do it for the glory of God, with the help of God and the power of God, and watch God do it. There are some times, amen, that you'll stand back and it's almost like you're standing there watching God work through you. Because God's doing the work that needs done. And listen, it wasn't because you're some special, way out Christian person. But there's some prerequisites. And there's some things you need to take into account in order to get God to do His work. Listen, is it getting better now or is it worse than it was even 20 years ago? It's getting a lot worse.
Yes, sir.
Men's hearts are getting worse. They're getting more wicked. Evil abounds. And man, with the internet, evil just, it's on the rampage. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you've got to be extra careful if you get anywhere near that thing. Because it brings evil closer to home. And evil's the one we're supposed to stay far away from, right? So let me encourage you, man. Do it God's way. The things you hear from this pulpit, from that man, from the men who he has in,
yes,
from that man,
yes,
amen.
Yes, amen.
Adhere, follow, amen. Give it a try, amen. See if it doesn't work. These guys have proven, amen. They've been in this thing a long time.
Yes.
They've seen what God will bless. Would you rather have the blessings of God or would you rather have some idea that man made up?
That's right. Yes, sir.
I'd rather have the blessings of God. Take the world, but give me Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Yes. And boy, I'll tell you, I mentioned that song earlier, the message about Grandpa, and I long to see that happen. I long to see those days. Brother Hain, how about you?
Yes.
Those days were, man, I mean, you could stand in the pulpit and God just settled in on the place and stayed. That's what I like. Why? Because when he's here and he's doing it, hey, listen, what he does lasts.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yes.
You ever notice how some people don't last anymore?
That's right.
They just have no stick-to-itiveness, for lack of a better way to say it. Well, the problem is that you get off track, you get away from God, and God's not, he's not there. He's not obligated to help you. Amen. And people think that God thinks like they do. He doesn't. I'll clue you in right now. He doesn't. In fact, the Bible is very explicit about that thing. It says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And then it says in the book of Ephesians, walk, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as other Gentiles walk, according to the vanity of their mind. And then it goes on to say, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God which is in them. Man, being an alien in your own country. How about this? Being an alien in your own body. Why? Because you started thinking like everybody else. And it's like those Israelites who said, give us a king. We want to be like all the other nations. Well, everything about it was a lie. When you look at it, you know, the king, he's going to fight our battles for us. No, he's not. He's going to conscript your children. He's going to make them soldiers. They're going to do the fighting for you. Amen. Instead of God fighting for you.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather have God fight for me. He does a better job.
Yes, sir.
He wins when he fights. Amen. And there's a lot less pain for me when he fights. So here in number 7, we got some things here. There's 89 verses in this chapter, and I'm not going to read them all. Amen. But it repeats itself several times. Let's take a look at the first 5 verses. It came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were princes of the tribes and were over them that were numbered, offered. Notice there's an offering going on. They brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons, 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox, and they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you so much, God, for being our God. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be together again. And this book, now Lord, help us as we preach, God. The best I know how, I give you the vessel again. Lord, I pray you'd fill it to overflowing and do what only you can do here. Speak to our hearts and help us to take something away with us. Lord, pray for the rest of this week that you would bless, that your presence would be manifested. Lord God, you'd be real to your people this week. And Father, we'd see great things from the hand of a great and mighty God. And we come with expectancy, thanking you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. There in verse 4, it said, the first 4 or 5 words there, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Young people, that's what you want. You want God speaking in the service. You want God speaking and moving and blessing what you put your hand to. Without the blessing of God, it's all in vain. It's all naught. It comes to nothing. And that ought to be your heart's desire. I would encourage you, man, this week especially, get your heart in tune with God. Yes. Amen. And desire him. Look for him. If you seek him, you'll find him. Amen.
Right.
So look for him this week. And look for him to speak. Expect him to speak. Come. Every time you come to church, you ought to be expecting to meet with God.
Amen.
It isn't just, listen, we're not here to play. We can go out in the field and play. We can go downtown and play. Amen. But, you know, you ought to come to church expecting to meet with God.
Right.
You ought to figure, amen, that God's going to speak to my heart. And listen, when you're doing that, you ought to figure there's probably something in there he doesn't like. And he may put his finger on it and say, get rid of this. Stop that. There may be something in there that you need to put in there that's not there yet. And as he speaks to you, he'll say, put this in there.
Yeah.
And add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and on down the road. The thing I'm trying to say is this. There ought to be an expectancy when you come to church that God's going to meet with you.
Amen.
That God is going to speak to you. Without that expectancy, you're nothing more than any other religion. You just come and sit and hear and listen and walk out the door. But if you're expecting to meet with God, guess what? You'll meet with Him. You go looking for Him, you'll find Him.
Yeah.
Amen. And He'll find you. And He'll deal with you. And He'll help you. So here it is. But there's some things. Look at verse 1 there. It came to pass on the day that Moses had, look at the next phrase, fully set up the tabernacle. He didn't do it for the half. You know, he didn't throw a pew over there and a pew over there, you know, and this looks like a good place for the pulpit in the middle of the floor. You know, it wasn't haphazard. It was done right. If you study out those Kohathites especially, but any of those priests, they did their job right.
That's right.
The Bible said that so it was always, when it got through talking about the Kohathites, setting up that inner part of the tabernacle. So it was always. That tells me they did it right every time. Why? Because they expected God to move. And they expected that if it wasn't right, God wouldn't move. So they did their best, amen. They set it up fully. It wasn't just, oh, well, you know, this is a good place for the tabernacle. Let's try it here. Mm-hmm. Okay, you Gershonites, you park over there. And you Mersonites, you park over there. And, you know, all you other Hebrews, just, you know, find a spot out there in the field. How did they pitch that tabernacle? They pitched that thing according to order. Amen. Everybody had a standard, amen, for their clan to pitch their tent by, so they were identified as who they were. Amen. You know what the world's trying to do to you today? They are trying to destroy your identification.
Yes, sir.
They want us all to be melted together, one big happy melting pot. I know one thing about a melting pot, it's hot. I don't like it hot. Amen. I like it in New York. It was 120 degrees yesterday where I came from. Amen. In the shade. I like it better in New York. It's nice and cool here. Amen. Somebody said, one of our nieces or something said yesterday, oh, it's hot. My wife says, you should be where we just were. Amen. Amen. What are you trying to say? Listen, they want to destroy any identity. They don't want you being identified as a Christian. Oh, and by the way, they will identify you for now. What's his face? The communist that ran for president there. He put out this thing. He's trying to push it where all Christians in workplaces had to wear something on them to identify them as Christians. That sounds reminiscent of the Jews in 1940.
Yes, it does.
Amen. So, what is it? They only want to identify you until they can destroy you. Then once you're destroyed, see, everybody else is the same. See? So what is it? They fully set it up. There was an identity to this thing. When the average heathen walked by that tabernacle, at a distance, he knew what it was. He saw that pillar of fire. He saw the pillar of cloud. He saw those things. And he knew, and he saw the standards. You know, the standard of the camp of Reuben, and blah, 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 there's all the Reubenites. He saw that thing set up in such a way that it identified who those people were. There's nothing wrong with being identified as what you are. What are you? Are you a Bible-believing Baptist Christian? Then identify as it.
Amen.
Amen. Don't just wave the King James Bible, but live the King James Bible.
Amen.
Let them know who you are. And bless God, you have no need to be ashamed or afraid of who you are. Listen, if you're saved and blood-bought, it's not about you. It's about your Savior.
Amen.
So identify, give Him the glory by doing it His way.
Well, if I identify, they're going to call me weird, and I'm going to have to, you know, I just, you know.
So what? Amen. We used to have a big meeting in Georgia, and Brother Homer Smith would always say, y'all, you're already identified. We took pictures of your license plate, put them on every media there is. Everybody knows you're here, so now you're identified. Amen. Listen, it's okay. It's okay to be saved. It's okay to be a Christian. It's okay to be a Bible believer, whether they say it or not. Because we're not here to please them. We're not here to please the rest of the churches. Who cares what they do? I heard Brother Asper say this morning that he headed toward Presbyterian school, studying Presbyterian works. Look what he is today. Amen. Look what God made him into. A Bible-believing Baptist, man, that knows and proclaims the truth. Amen. Amen. What a deal. Why? Because somewhere along the line he got a hold of this thing. He got saved and started doing it God's way.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Right? Yes, sir. And now look who's benefiting from it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So he set this thing up fully. He did it in a way, amen, that he knew God was going to be pleased with. You ever notice some people who never finish anything? What's their life like when you look at their life? It's all just like they never finish anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a job over here, it's half done. Here's a job over here, it's a quarter done.
Yeah.
You know, here's a house with half the roof missing, you know. Dog's got half a chain hanging around his neck. You know what I mean? It's everything, right? Why? Because they never finish it. Amen. You see them, they come to church, man, they're half dressed. Why? They never finish anything. God is into finishing things. God is into getting it together like it's supposed to be. Amen. That ought to be our goal. Do it His way, the way it's supposed to be, complete. In fact, God is so into completeness. When we're in Him, what are we? Complete. Amen. So here it is. They fully set it up. Then they anointed it and sanctified it, says. And all the instruments, man, they even anointed the instruments. Wow. What a deal. You know, here we are today. We are in Laodicea. The sad part of it is most Baptist preachers don't even realize it.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll talk about it. But the sad part of it is it's going on in their church and they don't even realize it. You know, the saddest thing I see is I read Revelation 3 and I get to verse 20 and there's Jesus knocking on the door. There's two things I see that sadden me. Number one is, just a few verses, about 12 verses earlier, he gave them an open door. That's the church of Philadelphia. 12 verses later, he's outside that door knocking to get in. And the saddest part of the whole thing is they don't even know he's out there or how he got out there.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
And they don't realize he's missing. Oh, why? Because they sing the songs. Of course, they add a few jumpy ones with it, you know. You know, they preach from a book. Well, you know, it contains some of the Word of God, they say. Who's they? I'd rather know I got the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
And I'd rather know that when I stand up to sing a song, man, it's going to get a hold of somebody's heart.
Amen.
I want to know it gets a hold of my heart.
Yeah.
I can get my flesh crawling all kinds of ways. I got into a place where they had fleas, man. That'll make your flesh crawl. I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't want this thing turned on, if you will. I'd rather have this thing turned on. I'd rather have God get a hold of my heart and move in my soul. Why? Because the things He does in my soul and in my heart last.
Yes.
And they work. And you know what happens then? It affects somebody else and they get it too.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'd rather give them God than give them a case of fleas any day. How about you?
Yeah.
Amen. And there he said, there in Revelation 3, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." Now, if you say anything to these folks, they're going to get mad at you. They will. I mean, in the kindest way you can muster, you say something to them, they'll get mad at you. "You're just judging me." No, I just told you, man, God's not here. You know? You got this thing set up all wrong. And I've seen them. I've seen the crowd take over the church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, take it over.
Absolutely.
And run all the old folks out.
Yep.
Why? Because them old folks, they're old fuddy-duddies. They're too narrow-minded. They don't know what's really in today. Well, if that's in, I don't want it.
Amen.
I know what's in with God, and I'll take that any day.
Amen.
Doing it His way, man. Right? Oh, then they call you're just a Pharisee. No, you don't get it. Amen. You know, they think because we meet in Jesus' name and we get a warm fuzzy when we do whatever it is we do. And we go out with a little warm fuzzy. How long does a warm fuzzy last? Not very long. Listen, you can't keep this flesh occupied for more than a few seconds nowadays. In fact, if you watch any television, have you noticed that about every 7 seconds there's a drastic change in the screen? There's a reason for that. The reason is the average attention span of an adult American, not a child, an adult American, the average attention span is only 7 seconds. So to keep their attention, they got a quick screen change. Why? So they keep their attention on it, so they can suck them in, so they can draw them into the commercials, so they can get them to buy something they don't need. Amen? So what happens? That's flesh. You can't, listen, you can work the hardest you can to make this flesh comply to something. But I guarantee it won't last very long. But if you can get God to get a hold of something down in here, it'll stick. Amen. Brother Hank, how long have you been at this thing? How long have you been saved?
Saved?
Saved.
Overnight. I'm 73 and I got saved when I was 15.
That's a whole bunch of years, huh?
Yeah.
And still there. Why? Because God did something in his heart.
Yes.
Amen. He could probably tell you about men who are his age who started with him who got out.
Yep.
And every one of us could. The year I got saved, in the church I got saved, there were about 30 men around my age that got saved. You know how many of them are still going for God? And I'm not bragging, but you're looking at it.
Yep.
And I'm nobody. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you. God's got to get something down in here. If he gets it down in here, brother, it'll last.
Yes, sir.
It'll stay. And that's what we're looking for. Listen, your generation is going to need it.
Yes, amen. Yes. Yep.
Your generation, Brother Chris, is going to need it.
Amen.
These kids' generation, if the Lord tarries that long, and I sure hope he don't. But they're going to need somebody. Who's got God. Amen. There's a price to pay if you're going to have the Lord show up. There's a price to pay. Amen. If you're going to get God to do it his way. Here it is. They're fully setting this thing up. There's preparation. They fully set it up. Secondly, they anointed it. There's a process. Why does the preacher harp on reading your Bible? That's part of the process. Why does he talk about praying all the time? Because that's part of the process. Amen. Why does he talk about being faithful to church? Because that's part of the process. You want God or you want the world? And listen, when I got saved, my preacher put it this way. I wouldn't take a job that took me out of the house of God.
That's right. Yeah.
And that has been my mantra ever since. So you can't do that today. I know some who have, and they're still
that's
serving
right.
God.
That's right. Old school brother, and it works.
They're still serving God.
Thank you, Lord.
They haven't been knocked out. Why? Because they put God first. Amen. And trusted him. Listen, I got let go from a job because I wouldn't do it their way. And they were really treated me really well. They let me go. They said, look, it's not your work, you know. And he made all these excuses. You know what I told them? I said, I was looking for a job and I found this one. Same God that brought me here will take care of me. Don't worry about me. And I walked out the door. Amen. What are you trying to say? Listen, God's still God. God hasn't changed because this is 2017. Man, I heard back in the 90s, they said, what? Don't you know it's the 90s?
Yeah.
What do you think they said 100 years ago? Same thing. But God didn't change. Oh, don't you know we're in the millennial age now? What's that mean? All that means is another 1,000 years, man. I got news for you. We ain't going to be around 1,000 years. Amen here. Amen. But I tell you what, we'll be around in heaven if we're saved. Right? Preparation for him to speak. The process to please God. They sanctified it. They anointed it. You know what it takes to do all that stuff? Now, I looked up that anoint, I looked it up in the dictionary. It means smeared or rubbed with oil. Then it says, set apart, consecrated with oil. But even if all they did was drop oil on it, you realize, have you ever counted up how many pieces? I didn't do this yet, but have you ever counted up how many pieces of furniture and how many things there are in the tabernacle inside? I mean, the candlestick, the showbread, the table, the showbread, I mean, and go on and on, and start counting. And not only were the things anointed with oil, but so were the priests.
Yep.
So now, you realize how long it takes to anoint all that stuff? They didn't just go, okay, it's all done. Every piece had to be done just so. They didn't do this thing haphazardly. It took time. It took effort. Why? Because that's what God said. Not just what you feel like doing, Moses, Aaron, Kohath. This is how I want it. And if you want it, if you'll do it that way, I'll bless you for it. A process to please God. You know, some folks, they think, well, you know, God just does it all, you know. Well, have you ever noticed the lights are on? Who paid the bill? The treasurer. Have you ever noticed that the pews are, you know, set up nicely? You ever noticed the carpets are swept when you come in? You know, you ever noticed things are kind of in order when you show up? God didn't come in and do that while you were gone. No, somebody did.
Yes, sir.
Somebody put some effort into it. Why? Because they wanted you to come. Young people, they wanted you to come and get something from God. Have you ever noticed they've done the best they could to keep it comfortable? Amen. Even in this old building, keep it comfortable. Keep it where you could sit down. You have a place, you didn't have to sit on the floor. You know, you're not sitting on a stump. But you're sitting in a pew that, amen, protects your back and supports your back. Why? So you can sit there and get something from God. It didn't just happen.
Oh, God spake, and there it was.
Hey, in Genesis 1:1, yeah. But, you know, Revelation didn't happen that way. Today didn't happen that way. Amen. So, there's a process there. Without that anointing, you can't understand God. Preacher, what are you talking about? Take your Bible and go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And look at verse 20. First John 2:20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Another definition of anointing is unction. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and what? Ye know all things. Without that unction, without that anointing, you can't understand God. You can't. Amen. And even with it, it's difficult. But I'm telling you what, you won't get to step one without that help from God.
Amen.
Amen. The preacher will get up and preach his heart out, and you just go,
yep.
What's that? Like a calf looking at a new gate. You won't know what to do. Amen. But I'll tell you what, if God's first and you've done your best to keep it His way, the Bible way, amen, when that preacher gets up and preaches, God will sink it into your heart, and amen, you'll do something to move toward God and do more of what pleases God. Amen. And then I noticed they presented their offering. They're in Numbers chapter 7, verse 2. We already hit upon that, but in Numbers 7 and verse 2, it says that the princes of Israel, the heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes and were over them that were numbered, offered, amen. And they brought their offering before the Lord. Everybody got involved in this thing, even the princes, the heads. Amen. They offered. What have you offered him? Every time you walk in the door, say, preacher, I'm poor, I don't have much money. Every time you walk in that door, the best offering and the first offering you should give him is you.
Amen. Yes,
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Remember we talked about doing it his way? acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now you prove the will of God, you do it.
Yes.
Amen. That'll prove it. They presented their offerings. You know what I noticed? It wasn't their tithe. It was an offering.
Yep. That's right. Yes, sir.
It was over and above. Amen. What's the Bible say about the tithe? It's the Lord's. You know what the offering is? It's yours.
That's right.
But it's something you give God.
Yes,
why? Because you love God and you want to see God do something. I like it, man, getting in an offering. I've been able, man, I've sent money places. It's like, yeah, I want in on that. I want in on that. And man, then you get a report back of people getting saved. You get a report back of how God did something. And man, it just thrills your soul. You got in on it. You got to be a part of it. You gave a part of you, amen, for the work of God somewhere. Amen.
That's good.
It wasn't their tithe. It was theirs.
Yeah.
Amen. So they presented their offerings. Then fourthly, they proved their loyalty. Loyalty to God. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you have met a closet Christian? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I worked with some until when I got saved. I found out that, you know, well, I'm saved. Really? How come you go where I go? Or where I went, you know? How come you do what I did? I mean, and you're saved? Closet Christian? Are you even a Christian? Are you saved? Amen?
Yes, sir.
Proving their loyalty. Look at verse 88. And all the oxen for the sacrifice of the peace offerings were 20 and 4 bullocks. The ram 60, the he-goat 60, the lambs of the first year 60. This was the dedication of the altar after that it was anointed. And when Moses had gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubims, and he spake unto him. The dedication of the altar. Man, they are dedicating things, amen, with and are using the very instruments, amen, that they brought. They brought them, dedicated them to God. Used to be a day, man, when people dedicated their stuff to God.
Yes.
Amen. Every vehicle that I've had for years has been dedicated to the Lord. Why? Because if he don't get it, it's going to get messed up. And if he doesn't get his hand in it, it ain't going to make it. Amen. And when you travel a lot of miles, you better have God on something. I'll guarantee you. Why? Because it's man-made and prone to break. Amen. And it usually breaks at the least opportune moment. Amen. But they proved their loyalty. Man, they gave their oxen and they dedicated this thing to the Lord. And then the pronouncement of God began. Verse 89, he speaks. But you know what? He didn't stop speaking. You know what they're looking for? You know what they're hoping for? You know what they're waiting for? God to speak. God to move. Verse 89, God speaks. Next chapter, chapter 8, verse 1, God speaks. Next chapter, chapter 9, verse 1, God speaks. Next chapter, chapter 10, verse 1, God speaks. Took them 89 verses, but God spoke for 3 chapters.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen. And then they spoke. You know what happened? No, God spoke again. And then they spoke. You know what happened? God spoke again. God speaks. Man. And then they had a conversation, man. They started talking with God, and God started moving, and God started answering, and God started moving. You know what we want this week, young folks? We want God to move.
Yeah,
man, I want to see God to move. He moved last year. He was good.
Oh, yeah.
He moved a year before that. But you know what? If we go off and try it our own way this year, you might as well wave bye-bye.
Yes.
That'll shut the meeting down quicker than anything. Oh, we might have a service, but the meeting will be over.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? I don't know about you, but I want God to be here this week.
Yes, help. Yes.
I want to see God do it again. I want to see Him move again. I want to see Him save souls again. I want to see Him touch people's lives again. You know, it's great. I'd like to see Him call somebody to preach. Amen. Call somebody to the mission field. Call them to the service of God somewhere. Man, what a blessing. There is no greater thing to be involved in than the work of God. No greater calling on earth than the will of God. But man, the service of God is wonderful. And to see God move and put people in look, what a joy. What a blessing. But folks, all it takes to put a monkey wrench in the whole thing that God's been doing. I don't know how many years this is now. 6, 7, 10, 20, I don't know.
7.
So I thought it was about around that. Oh, the perfect number. Hey, this could be the year, young people. Man, this could be the year God really get a hold of you. God do something for you that, man, you've been wondering if it ever happened to you. This could be the very year. I wouldn't want to miss anything.
Yes.
I'd want to make sure I was here every service, and I want to make sure I was ready and expecting God to do something for me.
That's right. Yes.
Why? Because He will. He will. Expect Him to move. And then, why are you expecting? Because you're doing it His way. You're doing what He asks. You're obeying. You're minding the Lord. You're here looking for Him. Amen. And watch what happens. And God spake. Most wonderful thing I know is when God speaks. He speaks and the sound of His voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that He speaks to me within my heart is ringing. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Father, the best I know how, I did what You told me to do. God, I just pray You take it, bless it, use it, Lord, in the lives of these dear folks. God, help us all, God, to come this week with expectancy. Help us all to have a heart, Lord, that's prepared and ready for what You'd have us do. Move in our midst like You've never done before. But then again, move as You always have before, Lord. And we'll thank You, Lord, for what You do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.